Hi, and welcome to the Theme Park Trainer Podcast with your hosts, Ryan and Dan.
Hello.
This week, Mercedes is joining us again on the podcast, and she's going to be talking about her trip to California, which included both the original Disneyland and Universal Studios Hollywood. So both parks we don't really have a chance to talk about too much in this podcast. So it was really good to have Mercedes on the show talking about her trip, which was only a couple of weeks ago, so it's still very fresh in the mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic. Stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
So, welcome back to the show, Mercedes.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back.
A lot has changed since you last came on the show. The first big thing is you've been to California. The second thing is you've got a new podcast.
I do, yes. So, I have a new podcast, Chat Disney, where we chat Disney.
Clever.
Exactly.
See what you did.
Exactly. So that's really exciting as well.
You've done four episodes so far?
Yes, yeah. Episode four will be released at the same time as this goes out live, which is our Tokyo episode.
Cool. So yeah, you did, the last one was, I think I listened to, was Disney World.
Yes, yeah. That's correct. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
How you find it?
It is good. It's a lot of hard work. Mm. I really appreciate what you guys do, obviously with multiple podcasts as well.
Mostly Ryan.
Well, yeah. but it's really good fun, and the feedback from the community has been really good, and it's kind of connected me to like even more people, which is amazing. So yeah, we're really enjoying doing it.
Yeah, I know that Craig has been hassling you guys already to... Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely, which is good. Hassle us more.
I'm curious as to hassling what.
He's been like,
it could be anything.
I know, he's been like, join the After Dark Network.
Oh, okay,
and I said, Craig,
okay.
They've only done one episode. Like, come on, let him settle in.
No, it's all good. No, we're enjoying it. It's really, really good fun. And
No, it's good. It's good. Yeah. It's really good. The episodes I've listened to so far have been good. So
thank you. That's really nice of you.
So you need to check it out, Dan.
I do.
In all fairness, Dan doesn't even listen to our podcast.
No. Why would I listen to it, Ryan? I'm on it.
You get to live it.
I've heard it. It's just old content in my ears.
Yeah. You don't listen to Diz After Dark either, though.
No. I don't listen to any podcast, really. I'm really bad.
Oh, I'm a bit of a podcast fiend. Anything Disney, anything like murder, detective kind of, then yeah, I'm there.
Well, there needs to be some kind of Disney murder crossover.
Exactly.
And you'd be on a
blend
day.
The two.
Some sort of Haunted Mansion-esque thing.
That yeah. would be cool, like Missing in Disneyland or something. Yeah, that would be good.
That sounds like a Netflix series in the making.
Absolutely.
My child went missing and appeared 3 years later on Small World.
Just going round and round, yeah.
So, you went to California.
I did.
And you got to go to Disney, and you also got to go to Universal, right?
I did indeed, yes.
So, talk to us first about Disney and what your experience was like going to Walt's original park.
Yeah, so it was the original park that Walt Disney himself devised and lived in and all of that jazz. So that was really exciting and really special. Whilst I was there, I did the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour, which was really interesting. I learned a lot of facts about when the park was created, Walt Disney's original vision, how some of that happened, some of that unfortunately didn't happen. So that side of things was really good. But in terms of the actual park itself, it was kind of like an old-fashioned version of Disneyland Paris.
That's interesting. It's interesting feedback, because we had a little chat before we start recording, and I mean, it was built in the 50s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of understand that. But I think there might be some Disneyland fans shouting at the... their phones right now.
With anger. Yeah, how dare you? But I think, yeah, some of the animatronics are very, very old, which obviously at the time, you know, it was really innovative and it was amazing technology, but that was over 60 years ago. So it does need a little bit of an update, I would say.
So you think they could update things like that without the fans getting out really outraged?
Yeah.
Because if anything, they're just improving the rides.
Yeah.
They could take the animatronics and put them on display somewhere, couldn't they?
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
For people that want to go and see them. And
Walt's Wall of Animatronics.
Yeah.
Love that. The heads.
They could call it What Walt Wanted.
Amazing. I love that. So I'm imagining like some kind of horrible Game of Thrones-esque like heads on spikes or something. Like,
oh yeah, can you
imagine? Yeah.
Just tiki birds like pecking the eyes out of an old Lincoln animatronic.
Oh, don't speak to me about the tiki room as well. That's probably my worst attraction ever. I'm sorry. I know, like, again, all the Disney fans are like the original Walt fans are going to be like, how dare you? But
I rate the Tiki Room, but in all fairness, I haven't been on it in about 5 years.
Somehow I managed to avoid it when we went in October.
You avoided that and the Carousel of Progress?
And the Jungle... What is it called?
Jungle Cruise.
No, the Jamboree. The
Country Bear Jamboree.
Country Bears, yeah.
You were like, we're going to go on all these things, and somehow I managed to avoid them.
I think that's because we sat through the Hall of Presidents, and that was enough.
You were depressed enough.
That was enough.
They did not have the Hall of Presidents in California, I am pleased.
They've got the Lincoln thing there, haven't they?
Yeah, they have that, and that was the first human animatronic that Walt Disney ever made.
Yeah, right.
He showcased it at the World's Fair, and that's really what kind of set the tone for Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, and that kind of stuff to really exist. Mm. So, yeah, that's like a really important piece of Disney history, which is why it's still there.
But in the words of Indiana Jones, it belongs in a museum.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's it. Maybe there does need to be some kind of, like, obviously there's the Walt Disney Family Museum, but maybe like a Disneyland specific museum for these things to exist.
I think people would be on board with that.
Oh, yeah.
If they were to say we're closing these rides, updating them with something new, but all the animatronics and things will, or just merge the rides together into one.
What, Pirates of the Small World?
Pirates of the Lincoln Small World, starring the Tiki Birds.
Nice. It'll be like a tram tour.
Yeah.
So you kind of go through. And yeah, that would be nice.
Almost like, you could call that a great movie ride, couldn't you? Something
on those lines. Nice.
Let's bring that back.
Yeah.
So what did you go on that you thought, okay, I'm really excited to ride this, but you actually came off disappointed?
Oh, the Pirates of the Caribbean, which it's not that dissimilar from Pirates of the Caribbean that I've been to in other parks, but I don't know, I guess because it was the first one, I thought I was going to have some kind of like spiritual moment where Walt was going to like be like, ah, and it wasn't like that. It was just kind of a lackluster version of rides I've been on previously.
Yeah.
They have updated it with the Hans Zimmer soundtrack, Barbossa, Captain Jack, like they have done in some of the other attractions around the world, but it was mostly the queue line that was strange. So the boats actually go past the queue line once they've been on the ride. So you can almost like reach out and grab people as they're queuing, which was a bit strange. It was almost like the queue was a second thought, which it may well have been because obviously they didn't know how successful these attractions were going to be when they made them. But that was kind of my main issue with that. It was just not very well planned, I would say. Other rides that were disappointing, Space Mountain, the Matterhorn, and that was from really a comfort perspective. So you guys know more than most about uncomfortable old roller coasters.
Yeah.
Ryan likes it though.
I do, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, but the thing is I'm quite short as well, so it doesn't tend to do me as much
physical harm. As you'd like.
Yeah. I love Space Mountain because my favourite seat in Space Mountain is the back because it hits you around most.
No. So I agree. Like, I wasn't as bad, but my poor boyfriend, and he's not that tall, but he's taller than me, obviously, and he got in behind me And he, like, I turned around and his knees were, like, up by his chin. And he was like, how on earth am I meant to get in here? This was on the Matterhorn. And that is one very rough ride indeed. They have updated it, like, the new Yeti animatronics in there and stuff. And I think if it was more comfortable, that would be a good attraction. But unfortunately, the kind of uncomfortable nature of it takes away from the ride because you're just in pain.
It's weird that they haven't updated the vehicles. Yeah. To be honest, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? Like, you think they would.
Shall we say body sizes have probably changed since the 50s?
More burgers have been sold.
Yes. Let's say that.
Mm.
This is interesting, actually. Everybody in California was very lean.
Really?
Yeah, okay. So they're very health conscious there.
I suppose it's very outdoorsy kind of climate.
And absolutely, yeah. Lots of dog walking, lots of jogging, lots of active wear, lots of coffee shops and kale and things like that.
Very hipstery.
Oh, very, yeah. And that was evident in the Disney park as well. Like, there weren't that many large people.
Scooters.
Exactly. Saw a few, but not that many.
Okay.
So that was different, yeah.
Some people had made it over from the other coast for the trip.
Precisely, yes.
So Pirates of the Caribbean is interesting because a lot of people say, oh, that one's the best of the bunch because it's got that, from what I understand, the little drop before the end.
Yes.
But you didn't think so?
That's a good question. That is true. So it's definitely, in terms of intensity, it's definitely more intense than, say, the Walt Disney World attraction in Florida. Mm. But I would say it was on par with Disneyland Paris. But then because it's older, the animatronics and things weren't as good as Paris.
The one in Paris, I think, is good.
Yeah, I like the Paris one very much. I think, out of those three, the Paris one is definitely my favourite. And I would say the same with Space Mountain as well. I think the Paris Space Mountain is... But that's, again, it's because it was built in the 90s. So it's kind of unfair to compare them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very different, the Paris one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It goes upside down.
Yeah.
They've also got much better restraints on that now.
Yes.
That are actually comfortable. You saw that last year when you were in Paris.
Yeah, I mean,
they're actually quite comfy, aren't they?
When you actually go upside down, it probably helps that you've got better restraints, really.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The only thing I will say about those restraints, actually, neither of you have long hair, so you probably haven't experienced this, but for some reason, when they pull the when you pull the restraint down, my hair gets all tangled in the back of it.
Oh, God.
I think it's because they have those, like, bolts. Do you know what I mean? They're kind of Jules Verne-esque bolts.
Yeah.
To kind of fit in with that land. And my hair always catches in there. So that is something I would say if you've got long hair and you go on that, just get it to the side before you pull your restraint down. God. But
just imagine you getting stuck as the ride's about to set off again. You're sort of like...
My necklace did that once, actually.
Really?
Yeah, on that ride. I don't know how, but it somehow got caught. And then when I tried to lift it up, I was being strangled. I couldn't work out what was happening. And then I noticed it was my necklace. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, so just be careful on that one.
That's the thing with the cast members in France. They are, to put it, I guess, in a nice way, less caring if that happens to you.
Just break your necklace.
Just laughing to sit from the side.
Exactly,
Maybe if you're in America, you'd have about 10 cast members around you
trying to
save you. Yeah. You'd already be filling in the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly.
So Pirates of the Caribbean, Matterhorn. Matterhorn's interesting because it's one that I've always wanted to go on.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess only because it's famous.
A classic one.
Yeah,
it's Tash. Tash, who I do the Chat Disney podcast with, it's her favourite attraction.
Oh, really?
She was very offended when I told her that I didn't enjoy it. But, you know, she even admitted, she was like, my memories of it are from being like 9 years
thing,
old
yeah.
and comfortable because I didn't care if I was being thrown around. And
yeah.
it probably wasn't as rickety back then as well. It's almost 20 years ago. So, yeah, she always said that was her favourite attraction when she was a little girl. So yeah, I can see it's got the nostalgia.
Yeah, but for I guess for us it wouldn't have that.
No,
it'll probably just be painful, which you'd like. I'd less so.
It also kind of doesn't fit in with that Disneyland park as well, because it's like, it's kind of in Fantasyland.
Yeah.
But then it's not really a fantasy, it's a real landmark.
Yeah.
But then it wouldn't fit in California Adventure because that's meant to be California. So it just kind of sticks out a little bit for me
weird,
as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't really blend with what else is happening.
You could probably see it in like an Epcot type place.
Yes, absolutely. It would be perfect.
Yeah, or Animal Kingdom, somewhere along those
lines. Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have it in Epcot, you know.
Well, never say never now. I don't think they know what's going on in Epcot at the moment.
Oh god.
There's been rumours for years actually that it would be going into a Switzerland country in World Showcase.
That would be perfect.
But
it's not gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
I mean, there's been rumours of a new pavilion for years, haven't there?
Yeah.
It's just, and all sorts have come up, but nothing's ever been confirmed.
I wouldn't be surprised if they built one started to build one just around the 50th, but
maybe just after.
Cutting
maybe.
It fine now. It's only 2 years away.
Well, yeah, the thing is, they've got Ratatouille and Guardians and the new show and anything else that they haven't already announced, like the changes to Interventions East. Is it East?
Yeah, the new play pavilion.
So I don't know if they'll make much more.
No, it would fit there nicely.
It would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what other rides? Because the one that I've always wanted to go on there is the Roger Rabbit.
Oh, right. Yes. That kind of feels like you've taken a hallucinogen kind of thing.
It always looks like that.
That movie is one of my favourite movies, but it is a little bit kind of all over the place, and it's a bit like a cult film, isn't it? It's kind of got this following to it, but then when you watch it as an adult, especially if you've never seen it before, you're like, this is actually a bit weird and quite dark.
Yeah.
The ride was no exception. So it kind of, it didn't really have a narrative to it. You just kind of saw like random scenes. So the weasels had like the dip and stuff. It was quite frightening. It was similar to like Snow White's Scary Adventure or something like that, where you've just got all those witch scenes. It was just kind of lots of scary scenes with bright colours and spinning and Roger Rabbit's voice. And you can imagine, I actually really liked it. It was just quite nice to go on a brand new ride as well that I've never been on before. Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, my boyfriend was like, what on earth did we just go on? It didn't have a queue, so it was like perfect opportunity. But actually, I say it didn't have a queue. It didn't when we went on it, but most of the time when we were there, it had over an hour.
Oh, really?
Queue. Wow. It's a really popular attraction. Yeah.
See, I really want to get to California in the next maybe 2 or 3 years, because I have a feeling that's going to be one of the casualties in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah.
And Roger Rabbit is one of my favourite films.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit with like the core Disney brand, does it, really?
Not anymore. Not unless they announce a sequel.
Right.
Which has been rumoured for years.
Okay.
But never happened.
No, I can't. Yeah. It does fit with the area because it's in Mickey's Toontown, but I know what you mean. Like, the fact that Daffy Duck is in that movie, it's a bit strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always an odd one.
Yeah, yeah.
What other rides at Disneyland do you rate? So you didn't particularly rate Pirates or Matterhorn.
No, unfortunately. Haunted Mansion was great. I haven't been on Haunted Mansion for a long time because I've not been to Florida for a while, and obviously Phantom Manor is quite different.
Yep.
So it was nice to go on Haunted Mansion. It's super similar to the Florida one, so no complaints there. That was really
good. The exterior looks cooler, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's really lovely because it's in that kind of New Orleans section. It looks like it kind of looks like the Port Orleans Resort and that kind of New Orleans architecture with the big pillars and balconies. It's really grand. And it really fits with that area. I really liked that whole area, actually, that Port Orleans section, which is where Club 33 was as well. That was really good. I loved Star Tours. I love Star Tours anyway, and it was the same as I'm used to, but it was brilliant. I went on that 4 times.
Nice.
So yeah, that was good.
Good effort.
Oh yes. Well, I was determined to get the Force Awakens narrative, so I just kept going on it until that happened. So that was really good. What other rides?
Did you get the scene where you land at Galaxy's Edge?
We
got,
no.
So at Paris, we got, because if you ask for the English version in Paris, it seems there's only one track now.
Okay.
So they do the start, which is still either Stormtroopers, Darth Vader, or for the first time I got Kylo Ren.
Right.
I've never seen him before.
Yeah.
Then you have, I think, Jakku.
Yes.
Then you have the other planet from Last Jedi, which I always forget its
name.
With
the red stuff and
with
the ice.
With the red stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last place you land is Batuu, which is Galaxy's Edge.
Ooh,
and you see, you come in and you see the land, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Which is cool.
No, I don't think we had that. It was that the other bits that you said were the same, but no, I don't think I've had that ending. So
yeah, I didn't even know that they'd made it.
Right. I wonder if they've got their own world. Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Maybe.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah, especially with Galaxy's Edge opening in California, you'd think they'd try and
it's probably in there somewhere.
Yeah,
I guess.
It must be. I just didn't get it. I just kept getting that Jar Jar Binks scene underwater, and
I
like
that a lot as well.
It's so rubbish.
Yeah. It is bad. The only good bit is the bit at the end where the ship comes through the the glass. That effect is really cool.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So I had that. This is strange. So I had that ending, and then I had the exact same scene, but instead of it coming through the glass, they threw paint at the screen
I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
And I think there's another variation of that where the bit on the end just snaps off.
Yes, I had that too.
Yeah.
As you can see, I had that scene a lot.
But it's weird. Like, I don't understand why they've made three different endings for that same scene.
It's almost like they're trying to get everyone on board with the Gungans again.
Let's hope they're not
maybe
bringing
them back.
Maybe they're coming in episode 9.
Oh, no. Can you imagine?
They're the worst.
Jar Jar's been engineering it all.
Yeah, they've been laying the groundwork for so many years to get everyone in back into the Gungans.
God.
Love that.
Can't imagine that.
No. So, yeah, I think Star Tours was my favourite attraction in Disneyland, but obviously it's not new to me, so that's kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned MaxPass as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. So MaxPass was really interesting. We didn't use it during our trip because we didn't need to. We got really lucky. Mm. I did a hell of a lot of planning and I made sure I was there at Rope Drop every single day. So luckily we didn't have to use it. But it's a really cool concept. So you basically use your phone as a fast pass.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really good about it, and I think the thing we would have benefited from it, was rather than having to walk around to fast passes, you can get the fast passes on your phone for an attraction without having to walk there. And you can do it for both parks as well. And I really feel that Disneyland Paris would be hugely improved with this feature. So if anyone from Disney is listening, please.
I mean, yeah.
They will listen to the podcast.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Of course they do.
Bob Iger himself, I'm sure, listens to this.
Massive fan.
He's out for his morning jog.
Yeah, I
really feel... It's just... They should have been introduced a while ago. It's just... It works.
It's so far behind, isn't it, Paris?
Yeah, there were a few times on our last day when we kind of blended the two parks where we were looking on the app at queue times and we were like, oh, this one's got a really long queue, but we kind of want to ride it later. If we had purchased MaxPass, we could get a fast pass now and things like that.
Yeah.
So I can really see how that would benefit your trip. So, yeah, I would hugely say to look into that because it seems really good.
Sounds good. I think I'd probably get it. If I was over there anyway,
yeah,
I may as well.
It's quite expensive. So it's $15 per person a day, which obviously is fine, you know, just two of you or whatever. But if you're a big family, you know, three kids or whatever, you can see that adds up. So, yeah, that is expensive. And there were quite a few things, actually, I noticed in California where it was like, if you were prepared to pay up, you'd have a much better experience, which isn't that noticeable, I don't think, in other parks. But certainly with things like Fantasmic, with the viewing areas, you had like a tiering system. So if you did a dining package and you were at Blue Bayou, you got like the best seat. And then if you ate at Riverbell Terrace, your seat was like slightly worse, and so on. Hungry Bear had one as well, slightly worse. Then there was fast pass seating for people that had just gone and got a normal fast pass, and then everybody else. And it was really quite elitist, and I'm not really used to seeing that so evidently in a Disney park.
Disney World does something similar with Fantasmic as well.
Oh really?
They've got the dining package, then fast pass, which I think we had a fast pass, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And then they put everyone else.
Oh, see, I don't remember that from my last trip, so I don't
know
if that's
new. They pushed
it
a lot more in the last few years. Yeah.
I don't think they have tiered.
They don't have tiered
dining packages yet.
Right. I guess, do you eat there for the dining package for Fantasmic?
No, it's one of the restaurants in Hollywood Studios.
Oh, okay.
But
that's
odd. There's not many really, like, outstanding restaurants in Hollywood.
No. But yeah, this was tiered by where you'd eaten as well, which I thought was really bad.
Yeah, it's
bad.
Weird, isn't it? Pay the most money and you get the best seat.
Yeah, it was strange, which I know that's how the world works, but I'm just not used to seeing it so kind of, you know, clearly in Disneyland. It was a little bit strange.
Yeah.
But it was all right, because I had the Blue Bayou dining package,
so
fine,
yeah.
It was fine.
How was Fantasmic? Cause
it
had not been
good.
Long open, right?
No, it just opened. I was so lucky, because I think when I came and I chatted on your podcast before, I said I wasn't going to see Fantasmic or World of Colour.
Yeah.
But both of them were up and running, so Walt Disney was listening. He answered my prayers. But yeah, I loved Fantasmic. I was blown away by it. The Pirates of the Caribbean section is incredible, like a real life-size pirate ship comes round, and there's kind of acrobats and all sorts of things. So that was absolutely amazing. I loved that.
Yeah, I've heard it's much better than Disney World's.
Yeah, I mean, I do love the Disney World version as well. It's a great show, but there were a few little key moments in the California version that was really, really breathtaking.
Mm.
So yeah, I loved that. Really good.
Yeah, it does look good over there. It's one of the main reasons I want to go. I mean, you know how much I love Fantasmic.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, sounds like World needs to up its game a little bit.
Yeah, well, I've heard rumours that it's coming to Paris.
Right, okay.
Oh, where would that be?
Well, they're building that new
area
on the lake.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's rumoured to be.
Quite prime for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I mean, it's a perfect location for it.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Watch this space. That would be good.
It would be amazing. I'd be probably on board with that.
It's not like every weekend.
Yeah. I get to see Fantasmic every day.
Well, now you have your annual pass. You can do that.
Exactly. Although Disney's rate of building things, we're probably talking about 5 years. Yeah. In time for the 30th anniversary, maybe.
If not 35.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know when, because obviously the 25th...
Was it 2 years ago? Or last year?
They're still remember. Celebrating, aren't they?
No, it's all come down now.
It finally stopped.
Well, I can normally work it out quite well, because it opened the year after I was born.
Right, okay.
And I'm 27, so 2 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right, okay.
Something so like
they've
that.
Only just, they've only just recently started.
They'll be gearing up for 30 soon.
Yeah, yeah. Starting early. Mm. Getting in there early.
Well, they did that with Shanghai when I went. It was the grand opening. And then that lasted for 18 months. And then it was the first anniversary, like, for another 18 months or something. So
it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what about California Adventure? Because you mentioned before the podcast that you really loved it there.
I really loved it so much. And I wasn't expecting to either. I think I thought it was going to be really similar to Walt Disney Studios or Hollywood Studios and maybe be a bit of an overflow park.
Mm.
And what I loved about it was it had its own concept of that it was representative of California. So there's a San Francisco section, there's a Yosemite section, and it's, I just loved that. I thought that was so innovative. I've never seen anything like that done in a Disney park before. So that was really good, but I fear, well, I don't know, I think that might be lost a little bit going forward now.
With the Marvel stuff coming in, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, but no, I loved the park, really unique. I loved the kind of lake with the big Mickey Ferris wheel that's really iconic in that park. Really good attractions as well. It was Food and Wine Festival, so yeah.
You're making really jealous.
I know. I've never been to a Food and Wine Festival before, and I spent all the money and
that's the problem, isn't
all
it?
The food.
Yeah. It's so expensive. Like, when you stop at every stop and you buy maybe some food and some alcohol, you could easily spend like $10-$15 every, at least at every stop.
Oh yeah, every beer was $10.
Yeah.
Like that was the cheapest beer. Mm. So yeah, and that was kind of my incentive with my boyfriend. It was like, look, because you've come to Disneyland and you didn't want to, you can have as much beer as you like. So I don't even want to know how much money was spent on beer during that trip. But yeah, I really enjoyed, it was just a really nice atmosphere in that park. And I think because you do have a lot of annual pass holders, there are people that are just going to watch World of Colour and have a beer and stuff. So
yeah,
it's quite chilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really loved it.
I'm interested to see the dynamic of both of those parks when Galaxy's Edge opens.
Mm.
I think it's going to be mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's going to change quite significantly.
Well, they're already saying that they're limiting time that people are going to be spending in Galaxy's Edge in California.
Yeah, you get time slot, don't you?
Mm. For the first month, so, I think, or month and a half.
The infrastructure there is not that large. Like their Disney, their Downtown Disney is small.
Mm.
There's only three hotels. Like it can't house that many people. Mm. So I think that, you know, to cope with the demand, they're going to have to do things like that, because it will just be, I mean, even during the food and wine section, when you first kind of got over towards the kiosks at like peak hours, like lunchtime on Saturday, that was horrible. Like I was just like, oh, can we please get away from here? I felt really claustrophobic because everyone was kind of congregated in this one area. So I can see kind of how that looks already.
Yeah, the Galaxy's Edge is going to be mental.
Yeah, it probably doesn't help that World is opening later as well.
Yes. You have
people going over to Disneyland because they want to see it straight away.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really going to impact the problem, which is probably one of the reasons why they're limiting the number of people that can go in and limiting the time that you can be in there.
Because people will spend, especially annual pass holders, and there are so many of them there, they will just go for the day to see Galaxy's Edge when it first opens. So I think it's right that they're limiting the time in there, really.
Yeah, it's fair, isn't it?
I think it's fair, in the beginning, because,
I think Disney World should do the same. If you've got a hotel, if you're a hotel guest, then you should get a slot. If you're an annual pass holder, you should get a slot, but they won't.
We'll have to, I suppose, have to see how well it's managed at California, I suppose.
Mm. My prediction is still park capacity every day for the first 3 months.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. It's going to be super busy. I feel bad for your parents.
My parents are there early September.
Oh, gosh.
Or maybe middle of September.
But maybe all of the other attractions will have quieter wait times?
I'm not convinced.
I don't know.
It's difficult because obviously if people are queuing like 5-6 hours for these rides...
Well, the thing is, there's no fast pass, right? But there's no fast pass, so that's not slowing people down, which is a positive.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just have no idea what's going to happen. It's going to be crazy.
I did have a sneaky peek of Galaxy's Edge when I was in California, so I saw it from the railroad.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Mm. Are they nearly done?
It looked done. Yeah. It looked done. I mean, I couldn't see... Obviously, I could only see kind of above tree level. But yeah, it looked done. It looked like a comprehensive kind of landscape. But obviously, I don't know about individual attractions and things like that. But yeah, it was much bigger than I thought it would be. Especially because with California, there's always the whole, oh, we don't have any land here to expand. You know, we're landlocked. It looked pretty big, so
found some land.
They managed to find space for cars as well.
Cars
is massive. So, yeah, that's a bit strange, but there we are.
So, how was Cars? Did you manage to ride it?
I did. It was great.
It's like an updated test track, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, it was really lovely. What I wasn't expecting was it did have a little kind of dark ride section as well with animatronics and things. Okay. So it's really good for like families. It's kid friendly, but you know, I guess it's good for kind of like 8 years old, maybe where you're kind of bored of Peter Pan and you want a bit more of a thrill. I really enjoyed it. What I would say is if you are going to ride it, you have to get a fast pass. It had a 3-hour queue one day, and it is really good, and I probably would have queued the 3 hours because I wanted to experience it, but it's not worth 3 hours. Yeah, really, really good. I liked it a lot more than my boyfriend did, but he doesn't really like dark rides and things like that. But I liked the blend between the two, and I think it makes it super accessible for people that love the movie as well, because you've got that kind of introduction of the characters and so on. Yeah, really, really good attraction. I really liked it.
Cool. That's good. Because I don't like cars at all, but I thought it was a good ride.
Really?
I don't like the franchise.
No,
really?
I don't.
I'm not on board with Cars 2 and 3, but I love the original.
Oh, the first one's okay, but okay. I think they took it too far, didn't they? They didn't. They made sequels just to create merchandise.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But the whole Radiator Springs area, it was very Cars. It wasn't Cars 2 or 3. There's no, like, Michael Caine character or anything like that.
Right.
It was, it was very reminiscent of the first movie, so I was happy with that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then the big one, Mission Breakout.
Yes. Oh, loved it so much. I was very much in camp. Oh my God, what have they done to Tower of Terror? How dare they slap Marvel on it? But I've had my eyes opened, and I would say this attraction's hugely improved. The actual ride mechanic's different. It's more extreme. So, you know how before you would kind of get in the vehicle and then you'd go up and you'd have a bit of story and then you'd go up again? This, literally from the second you're strapped in, it goes backwards into position and then that's it, you're off, you're up, down, like, it's crazy.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, really, really good. I really like the narrative as well. It's got a really cohesive storyline, which was really good. I think Guardians fans will appreciate that bit. Even if you've never seen the movie, if you like a good thrill ride, it's a really improved version, I would say, in terms of the actual mechanic of the attraction.
Right.
So, and I was a little bit worried as well that it was going to be really obvious that it was Tower of Terror and that they just slapped Guardians on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had never been to Tower of Terror, you would never know. There's no reason to know. It really suits the area being like that, I would say.
And as somebody who has been on Tower of Terror, do you think it still doesn't feel of Tower of Terror?
No.
Or at all?
Like, I could... obviously it's still a ride that goes up and down, things like that.
Yeah.
But it's more like... so you know the queue area... When you go inside, obviously I could see, okay, this was the hotel lobby before, but you wouldn't necessarily need to know that because they've done such a good job of turning it into the collector's gallery that it doesn't just look like a reskin. It looks like it was meant to be that way.
Yeah.
And then the little library is his office, so that works really well. And then when you go back into the kind of service area, I always thought that was weird anyway in Tower of Terror. I wanted to be taken up to where all the rooms were, and I wanted chandeliers and things. It always felt like a bit of a cop-out.
Yeah,
they're like, we're going to take you like to the service section where we don't have to put any
decor. The boiler room. And
yeah,
it's like,
exactly. Yeah. It was like, the boiler room. But that makes more sense in a Guardian of the Galaxy, because there's a lot of that kind of industrial setting in the first one when they're in that prison. It was kind of reminiscent of that. So actually that bit suited it more, I would say. And then, yeah, as I say, the ride, yeah, okay, it goes up and down. Terror went up and down, but they have improved it, which I was really surprised about. So
was Rocket working?
Yes, thankfully.
Best character.
It was so, the hat bit, that was one of the best animatronics I've seen for a while. It was so clever. Obviously, the second and third time I went on it, I kind of looked at it a little bit more because there were certain things where I thought, how do they do that? And then I kind of worked out that maybe Rocket was actually Rockets. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really clever. Loved that. So yeah, amazing attraction. And I hope that it comes to Paris, which I didn't think I'd be saying.
I mean, the thing is, it doesn't fit. If they bring Marvel into Paris, Tower of Terror doesn't fit anymore.
No. Yeah.
It just doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. So they have to bring it in my mind.
I mean, Guardians is a massive franchise for them now. So
yeah, and now the third movie's back on track.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense to bring it to Paris.
Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, it really, I mean, obviously it was in, as I said before, California Adventure is split by different locations in California. It was in the Hollywood section, but Marvel Land, you can see where the construction of that is, and it is, it's just on the edge of Marvel Land, so it fits really well in that park and kind of blends the two seamlessly. So that's quite nice. So yeah, whilst it's a shame that, you know, that little bit of Hollywood is being taken away, I do think the attraction's an improvement.
Yeah, and what did you think of Pixar Pier?
Oh, it was so lovely.
Because obviously you've not seen what it was before.
Yeah, so I'd never went to Paradise Pier, so I don't know if it's an improvement or not, but it was lovely regardless. I think it was done really tastefully. I think there was a worry, certainly when they said the Ferris wheel was going to become Pixar, that they were going to like replace Mickey's face with like a giant lamp or something. But that hasn't happened. So it's been done kind of to keep the integrity of the original park. And it's carefully, I mean, Toy Story Mania is there anyway, so it kind of makes sense. But they've basically just updated like the little shops, and the churro place is now a Senor Buzz's Churros and that kind of thing. So it's been done cleverly, and yeah, it was a really nice little area.
And the Incredicoaster?
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. So again, I've not been on California Screaming. The track's exactly the same. So in terms of the actual ride, I'm sure it's not that different, but they've given it a really good narrative. They haven't just like made it red and put some music over the top of it. It does have a nice little narrative, and the characters appear on the ride, and that was probably, that or Guardians were my favourite attractions in California Adventure. It was just nice to go on like a proper coaster, because it's kind of the only one they really have there. Yeah, so I went on that a couple of times because it was really good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. But we're not just going to talk about Disney.
No.
You went to Universal as well.
I did. I know.
And I don't know, I mean, I know a little bit about Universal Hollywood, but not enough. So how was that going in? Because you've been to Universal Studios Orlando.
Yes.
How was it in comparison?
So I was the same as you. I didn't know very much about it. No one really talks about it. So I kind of researched a little bit, and the general consensus was, if you've been to Universal in Orlando, don't bother with Universal in Hollywood.
Right.
The reason I ignored that advice was because I was with my boyfriend who's never been to Orlando and is a massive Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
So it was like, we have to do this. Absolutely. Yeah. I haven't been to Diagon Alley, so I think that was quite a good thing because my expectations were lower because I've only seen Hogsmeade and they only have Hogsmeade in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was kind of going down or back in time, if you see what I mean. So I went there, and it was a bit of a disappointment, and you guys will totally know where I'm coming from. There was one attraction that wasn't screen-based.
Wow.
One.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
That is, yeah. I mean, it's kind of what Universal are famous for at
the
minute.
But I,
and what was that?
The Hippogriff.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so it's not even a decent attraction. Yeah.
So you've got the Hippogriff and the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, and I wanted to ask you guys about that actually. So I went on Forbidden Journey in 2012, so it was quite new, and it was the best attraction of all time. Like I cried, it was a very emotional experience for me. I went on it again, obviously, now, and the screen technology seems to have really dated.
I mean, it broke when we were on it in Orlando.
Yeah, it did.
And you lost maybe about $3 worth of change.
All the change fell out of my pockets into the sea.
Oh, no.
I mean, there is a reason when they say empty your pockets before going on the ride.
I didn't listen. Oh, I didn't see the notice. But yeah, it did break, didn't it? It broke down.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think of what happened. The audio stopped.
That desynced. And then the...
I can't remember which one continued. Was it the audio continued, but the screen stopped?
Yeah. Right, okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, so it was really weird. So you could hear Harry talking. Mm. But I think it was just a Death Eater was right in front of your face, I think.
Yeah, it was really terrifying.
Yeah.
Wow. It was really scary, actually, that ride. I don't remember it being as scary as it was as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a few bits, like all the spiders and the Death Eaters and, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And the dragon animatronic's all right as well.
The dragon animatronic. Oh, yeah.
Kind of moves in front. I mean, it's not amazing, but it does the job when you see it.
Yeah, so it was still good, but it wasn't as amazing as I remember it being. Mm. I feel like the screens, I don't know, they just weren't as good as...
Is it 3D there? Because there was a point where it was 3D at Hollywood, so I'm wondering if it... At some point with the back and forth conversion, they just screwed it up.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah, no, it wasn't 3D. Then they had Simpsons, which was exactly the same as Orlando. But again, I remember last time I went on that being like, this is amazing, but...
I mean, that ride system is very old. It's using the Back to the Future vehicles pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I always find the screen quality on the Simpsons to be a little bit ropey.
Agreed.
Yeah, the animation looks a bit odd when it's in that format. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think I wear contact lenses now, and I didn't when I last went on it, so maybe that's why I'm only just realising now that the screens aren't that good.
Maybe the blurriness kind of worked for you before. It was like bringing it back
exactly,
into focus.
Precisely. What else did we go on? So they have Jurassic Park there, but it's obviously being renovated for Jurassic World.
Yes,
so that's a non-screen attraction, but it was closed.
Yeah.
They had Transformers, which was basically the same as Spider-Man. So that's screens, but you kind of move around. Very similar to Harry Potter.
Have you been on Transformers in Florida?
No.
Right. Yeah, I quite like that ride.
Yeah, it's an alright ride. It is very similar to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? Tell a lie, there was another one. The Mummy wasn't a screen ride.
Mm.
Right, okay.
That was, again, I don't know if my memory is serving me well, but I think that was different from the Universal one.
Right, okay.
It might not have been. I might just have remembered it incorrectly. But that was actually really good. I really liked that. What else did they have? They had the tram tour, which is obviously what Hollywood Universal is like synonymous for.
Mm.
So back in the day, I remember being a teenager and chatting to Tash about Universal and comparing them and saying like, oh, the Jaws ride or the King Kong ride. And she would be like, what do you mean? They're the same ride. And I was
what?
Like, so confused. She was like, yeah, it's all the same ride. Like, you just go around, you see King Kong, then you see Jaws. And I was like, what are you talking about? So now I understand. And that's kind of what made Universal Hollywood famous. It wasn't really a theme park. It was like a backlot tour. And then they started to put these kind of sets and things. So I got to see the original Hill Valley, which was amazing. Back to the Future's my favorite ride, and that was like, yeah, I loved seeing that. That was really special. They took us to the Jaws section, but it's literally just driving around a little moat, and then like a shark animatronic pops up and goes back down, and then you see it kind of reverse back the next people. So that was quite funny. But then they've replaced the King Kong section with a 3D, like 360 King Kong experience.
Okay.
That was awful. And then the ride, the kind of big seller that they're trying to be like, oh, and now we've updated it with your favourite, the Fast and Furious.
Oh, no.
And that was awful.
But the thing is, what Orlando have done is they've taken that section and made a whole ride on it.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know how they've done that.
Is it the, what was that before? Was it the one with the like special effects?
Disaster, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Where you're in like
two rides, was it?
Was it?
Okay.
Did they took out the Rocky Horror Picture Show, didn't they?
Oh, they might have done that as well, yeah.
Possibly.
Was the disaster one where you were like in a tube station?
Yeah.
So I can see...
Well, earthquake.
Yes.
Then it changed to disaster.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
Ironically, it's still a disaster.
it's even more of a disaster now than it was before.
Yeah, so I can see that that's the same as the tram tour then, because obviously you're sitting in that same kind of shape vehicle. It's a long tram. And then, yeah, you've got the action kind of happening either side, which is what the King Kong 360 one was as well.
I'm assuming that's basically the same as the King Kong ride in Orlando.
Yeah.
King Kong ride, and that's you go into a room and there's screens all around you.
Yeah.
And,
I've not
is
been
he
on
fight,
that.
Is Kong fighting, like, a couple of T-Rex looking things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same time.
Basically the same thing.
Do you like that ride?
I quite like
do
it.
You?
They've got an animatronic at the end of it, though.
Yeah. No animatronic. Right.
But it does sound like Orlando's had a bit of a cop-out. Just gone, take two elements from Hollywood until it was a whole ride.
Yeah, but then that's what they did before with Jaws and King Kong. But then there was a little bit more to it. There was a narrative with Jaws and, you know, you actually got to go around.
Yeah.
I got to go to Wisteria Lane from Desperate Housewives.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right up Ryan Street.
I really want to go to Hollywood during Halloween Horror Nights because they change it into like a Scream tour.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Oh my god, that's like another one of my favourite movies.
And they have like different drivers. So I think last year's driver was Chucky.
Right.
And then they'll drop you off and you'll go through like Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that. Yeah.
That was good. We went in the Walking Dead attraction as well.
How was that?
Really scary.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I don't really like The Walking Dead, but it's my boyfriend's favourite TV show.
Mm, right.
So I was like, and he doesn't like scare mazes and things like that, but I was like, it's your favourite show. Like, you have to do it. And it was really weird, actually, because for the first time ever, he was the one going to me, like, oh, Mercedes, this is from episode one with it. And I'm like, okay, look how the tables have turned. Mm. And it was like that, actually, in Universal. He really liked it because there was all the stuff he's into. So, like, Transformers, I was like, I thought that was the villain. He's like, no, that's Bumblebee. And I was like, okay, all right. So for the first time, actually, he kind of had, like, an active interest in the matter.
Yeah.
Like, as I say, he loves Harry Potter, used to watch Simpsons as a kid. The only thing he didn't really know about was Despicable Me, but I have that covered, so we're all good.
That probably gives you a good excuse to get him to Florida.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If you like Universal, you're going to love Florida.
Exactly, yeah, because it's so much better. But, yeah, it was funny because, as well, he was saying, like, oh, yeah, I really liked Universal Studios. Like, it's much better than Disneyland and all of this. And then at the end of the trip, he said California Adventure he preferred to Universal.
Oh, really?
And I was like, well, you said you really liked Universal, so that means you really liked California Adventure. So, yeah, I think, obviously, it's the first time, really, that he's been to American theme parks. So I think that's probably the biggest difference.
It's a whole different game, isn't it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been to one for so many years, so that was really nice. Mm. So he really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. It was good. I would say if you do go to California and you've done Universal Studios in Florida, there's not really much that you need. That I probably wouldn't bother going back there. But I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not like a must do.
Mm. Did you go there just the one day, did you?
Yeah. Oh, it's so small. And this is really weird as well. So you have to get an escalator to get to the lower lot. So right. So basically, it's the same problem with Disneyland. Because they don't have very much space, they have, like, the main theme park where most of the attractions are, and then it's Transformers, The Mummy, and Jurassic Park that are in the lower lot, and you literally get this really long, like, 15-minute escalator to get down. It's crazy.
That's so weird.
It's so weird. So weird. I feel like they... I don't know that was
what they
the
need
best.
Is as you're going down, go, the screen's just going, hi, I'm Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was really, really weird.
It'll probably be dangerous because you get people running down the escalator trying to get down there faster. So
well, yeah, they do have stairs down the middle, and normally I'm the kind of person that would take the stairs over the escalator, but as I say, it's probably like, 10 minutes between the two.
That's nuts.
It's really steep. You get, like, you get off one and then walk around, get on another one. It's a bit like the tube, you know, when you go on from, like, the Jubilee line.
Yeah.
It's like that, which is really weird. So, yeah, it's really small. You definitely don't need longer than a day. I did everything, like, comfortably and didn't get any kind of queue jumps or fast passes or whatever it is they have there.
Yeah.
And I didn't wait longer than, like, half an hour for anything. So, yeah, you don't need to have longer than a day.
I think I would do it, but yeah.
Yeah, even though we both been to the one in Orlando, I think I would just do it for the experience.
I think I'd want to go at Halloween Horror Nights, though, because at least there's more to do.
Yeah. I think for you guys, though, where theme parks is kind of your thing, that makes sense. But
yeah.
To the average person,
It's not worth it.
Don't waste a day of the holiday.
Definitely not. And I would say if you've been to Harry Potter since they've added Diagon Alley as well, that's probably even worse. Like, as I say, I've not been to Diagon Alley, so for me it was like for life.
Yeah.
But if you've been to Diagon Alley and then you went there, I think it would feel really, really disappointing. 100%, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it makes sense now that Hollywood have offered me press passes and Orlando haven't. Please come, please. I mean, if they offer to pay for my flights, I'm up for it.
Amazing. Yeah, there you go.
It all starts to make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's, but the thing is as well with the Hollywood Universal, it wasn't really meant to be a theme park.
No, no, exactly.
Again, it's kind of with
they used to shoot movies and
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, yeah, and there is that kind of authenticity about it. Like when you go on the tram tour, that was really interesting, and it's narrated by Jimmy Fallon, and he, I think this is correct, he worked at Universal as a tram tour person, so that's quite nice because it's kind of gone full circle.
I'm pretty sure that Spielberg back in the day broke in, or he basically bought a day pass and like kind of kept using it to get in day after day after day to try and like crash movie sets to watch what was going on. So he'd like go into like Hitchcock's filming and just like watch basically.
Yeah.
And that's how he got into directing and everything. Oh, wow. And he basically got tips when he was around the tour. And then when he became a famous director and they implemented like the Jaws section, he would literally just go in and sit on the boat. Like, and just start spend time there.
That's cute.
Wonder how
long
he spent
writing
E.T.
Yeah.
There's no E.T.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah, God. It's gone.
That's good.
Hollywood's got something, right?
Yeah, well, they just don't have the land, I guess. They've had to just kind of be a bit cutthroat.
The fat.
It's not quite long left in it, has it?
Hopefully not.
Orlando.
I loved E.T. when I was little, but then I lost my sunglasses on it when I was about 18, and I've always hated it ever since then.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Got a grudge against it.
Exactly.
Not until
taking...
they return your sunglasses.
Exactly.
Although
yeah.
I've lost two hats on Crush's Coaster, and I still love that ride.
Wearing a hat on Crush's Coaster is quite a choice.
Oh, it's my own fault. Like, don't get me wrong. It's completely my fault. But the first one, time I did it, I didn't even realise I was wearing it.
Oh, you forgot that you had it.
And it was a big Christmas hat, and I forgot that I was wearing it.
When you say big Christmas hat, what sort of thing
well,
are you
it's,
talking
it's
about?
I mean, you don't know if you've seen it. It's my Christmas hat with the stitches.
Christmas hat. Oh, okay, okay. You mean, yeah, okay, that sort of Christmas hat, right, okay.
Yeah.
Like a Santa hat.
It's a Santa hat, but with stitches.
Right.
I forgot that I was wearing it, because I was so cold. I just kind of...
You forgot.
And you lost it.
I lost it, yeah.
I lost my mini ears on the Guardians Mission Breakout, but I found them again under someone's feet, like three rows back.
Oh, that's good. Because they've got like the cage at the top, haven't they? So...
But I feel like I wear mini ears normally, but as I say, it's much more intense than Tower of Terror, and it kind of, the minute it took off, they were off my head, and then I didn't really enjoy the attraction, because I was fumbling around, and my boyfriend was really annoyed at me. He was like, well, we're going to have to go on that again now, because I spent the whole ride looking on the floor for your Minnie Mouse ears, but that was fine, any excuse, and it is different every time, actually, that ride as well,
right,
so, which I didn't know until we went back on it, and then it was like, well, now we're going to have to keep going on it to see what happens.
Yeah.
You just kept losing your mini ears.
Oh,
I've gone
again.
No, I took them off after that. I learnt my lesson. I put them in the rucksack so I could just enjoy the attraction.
Yeah. So
sensible.
Yes.
So was there anything else you wanted to talk about? You've covered a lot, to be fair.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it feels like so long ago now.
Yeah.
It's only been a couple of weeks, but, from coming back from Paris, that happens really quickly. I think just in terms of... Obviously, it's an American park, but it was so different to Florida. It had good points and bad points in that respect. It's much more intimate and much easier to kind of get around. So, yeah, just I think if you're into Disney and you happen to be in California, it's a must do. I really loved it. You have to go.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go.
Yeah.
I guess the one other thing to mention is that they have a monorail system that isn't going to kill you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Those monorails actually look nice.
Yeah, that's a good point, yes.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really, really lovely park. California Adventure as well is super special and just something entirely different from anywhere else that I've been. So, yeah, definitely one to visit.
Brilliant. Well, before you go, you've got to plug your podcast and where people can listen to it.
Of course. So the podcast is Chat Disney. You can find it at chatdisney.co.uk or on the Apple Podcast app.
And make sure you go and leave 5 stars as well.
Oh, yeah,
once they've listened, of course.
Of course, yeah. We want, you know, fair ratings, but then give us 5 stars.
Yeah. We only, us podcasters only care about 5 stars.
Yeah.
Remember when we got that 3-star and we spent an episode just...
Lost our minds.
Mm.
Did you not want to, because 3 stars is quite, you know, they've really considered that. It's not like a troll. Did you not want to know why?
Yeah, they left a reason, but the reason was that basically they hadn't listened to the episode properly at all. And that's what annoyed us.
Okay, that's fair. And unwarranted. Or, fair.
So, yeah, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So thanks again to Mercedes for joining us on the show. As she mentioned, go and follow her podcast that she does with her friend Tash, Chat Disney. It's very good. I've listened to every episode so far. I wasn't just saying that to make her happy. I genuinely have listened to every episode. And be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes as well. Just search for Theme Park Trader and hit the 5 stars. If you leave us a lovely comment, we'll also read it out on the show. And make sure you check out our website, themeparktrader.com. And we're on all the socials at Theme Park Trader. So thanks very much for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Ah, there you are. And just in time, there's a little matter I forgot to mention. Beware of hitchhiking ghosts. They have selected you to fill our quota, and they'll haunt you until you return.